Administration continuing its push to sell the American public on the legality and the wisdom of Bush's domestic spying program. Today, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez offered a lengthy legal justification for the surveillance program in a speech at the Georgetown University Law Center. Gonzalez said Bush is well within his constitutional powers in ordering the wiretaps. A number of public events like this would have been organized by the Bush administration to try to rally public opinion before the start of congressional hearings on the spying program on February 6th. Meanwhile, the Bush administration getting an earful from a Senate panel investigating Hurricane Katrina disaster. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says a preparedness drill that began in 2004 warned that a Category 3 hurricane could overwhelm New Orleans and should have been what she called a wake-up call that couldn't be ignored. The top Democrat on the panel, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, also accuses the Bush administration of blocking the investigation of the slow response to Katrina. Lieberman says the White House has ordered federal agency witnesses not to answer almost every question they've asked. The postponed election in New Orleans will apparently take place April 22nd. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco set the date today with an executive order. The U.S. Justice Department and Louisiana's legislature need to approve the plan, though. It includes beefed up absentee balloting and the creation of mega polling sites for all the New Orleans residents who can't vote as normally. Former President Gerry Ford, still hospitalized, turned out to be an extensive course of treatment for pneumonia. His chief of staff is insisting Ford's condition is not life-threatening, and he continues to improve at the Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thank you for joining in the fun and frivolity this evening to all the normal people who tune into this program. And to the Republican lurkers out there, you little right-wing cowards, the Bush supporters, the neocons, the members of the American Nazi Party. If any of you have the gumption God gave a sea slug and you want to give a call to the program tonight, we would try to work your way through the queue and put you on, as long as you watch your tongue and mind your manners. Have you noticed, if you pay any attention to mainstream media at all, not a single story anywhere that I could find on the John Conyers hearing, the basement hearing over the weekend, regarding the acts of treason and the law-breaking by George W. Bush? Not a single report? Incredible, huh? Well, that's that damn liberal media for you. Got an email here from a listener. Maybe John. Is it John? And it's a story, or it's an article that I was going to bring up, and I'm glad he sent it. Although he sent it with a line that says, "In a police state, no one can hear you scream." Let me give you the two stories very quickly. This is from Binghamton, New York. We mentioned this a couple of months ago. A federal judge there has sentenced an anti-war campaigner yesterday to serve 6 months in prison for his role in a protest at a military recruiting center in 2003, the judge, one Thomas McAvoy of the United States District Court, told the protester Daniel Burns, quote, "You have obvious contempt for the laws of the United States, and it bothers me." Daniel Burns said he had been acting honorably and honestly in demonstrating at the military station. As marshals led Mr. Burns away, this is according to the New York Times, a few dozen of his supporters broke into song until security guards cleared the courtroom. In 2003, using methods more commonly seen in the Vietnam War era, Mr. Burns, who is now 45, and three other activists, Claire Grady, her sister Teresa, and Peter DeMott, spilled vials of blood on the walls, windows, and American flag at the recruiting center in Lansing, New York, near Ithaca, to protest the impending invasion of Iraq. The defendants, who are part of the Catholic worker movement and call themselves the St. Patrick's Four because the protest took place on St. Patrick's Day 3 years ago, were first tried in state court, where a judge allowed them to argue at length that the United States violated international law when it attacked Iraq. When that case ended in a hung jury, a federal prosecutor, Miroslav Lovrik, filed charges of trespassing, damaging government property, and conspiracy. At the federal trial last September, the four compared themselves to Gandhi and testified that their actions were justified by their religious and political beliefs. Mr. Lovrik, an assistant United States attorney, argued that the defendants were on a slippery slope to committing violent acts like the Oklahoma City bombing. In the end, the jury convicted the defendants of trespassing and damaging government property and acquitted them of the more serious charge of conspiracy. Judge McAvoy warned the defendants not to break any more laws before their sentencing. In court on Monday, yesterday, however, the prosecutor said that Mr. Burns was among a group of people who recently traveled illegally to Cuba to protest outside the U.S. military base in Guantanamo. Mr. Lovrik, Miroslav Lovrik, said, "His attitude is very arrogant, Your Honor. He knows best what's good for the country." In addition to imposing the six-month prison term, Judge McAvoy fined Mr. Burns $250 for contempt of court and ordered him to pay about $1,000, his share of the property damage. In sentencing him, Judge McAvoy said that he did not believe that Mr. Burns was a bad person, but that he, the judge, could not understand how someone who thought the country had broken laws could break laws in protest. Oh, my. That's part one. Here's part two. Fort Carson, Colorado. A military jury recommended a simple reprimand Monday for an Army officer who killed an Iraqi general by stuffing him headfirst into a sleeping bag and sitting on his chest during an interrogation. As soldiers applauded in the courtroom, Chief Warrant Officer Lewis Welshofer Jr. hugged his wife after hearing the surprising light sentence. The commander at Fort Carson, Major General Robert Mixon, will review the sentence, but he cannot order a harsher sentence, according to defense attorney Frank Spinner. Welshofer was charged with murder, but was convicted over the weekend of negligent homicide and negligent dereliction of duty that carried a penalty of up to 3 years and 3 months in prison, a dishonorable discharge, loss of pension, and other penalties. The murder charge carried a potential sentence of life in prison. Instead, Mr. Welshofer faces no jail time. He must forfeit $6,000 in salary, and what amounts largely to a restriction to his barracks for 60 days. Welshofer was convicted of putting a sleeping bag over the head of Iraqi Major General Abed Hamid Mahoush, sitting on his chest and using his hand to cover the general's mouth while asking him questions at a detention camp in 2003 in Al-Qaim, Iraq. The defense argued that interrogators were under pressure to extract information from detainees and to find a way to replace techniques that hadn't been working. After the sentencing, the defense attorney, Spinner, said the six-member jury apparently accepted his argument that Welshofer did what he thought was right without clear guidance from his commanders during a chaotic time. During the sentencing hearing, Warrant Officer Welshofer fought back tears as he apologized and asked the jury not to separate him from his wife and children by sending him to prison. After his testimony, Welshofer mouthed, "I love you," to his wife, Barbara, who was seated in the gallery. She told the jury she was worried about providing for their three children without her husband, but was proud of him for contesting the case. With tears welling up in her eyes, she said, "I love him more for fighting this. He's always said that you need to do the right thing, and sometimes the right thing is the hardest thing to do." Prosecutors described Welshofer as a rogue interrogator who became frustrated with Mahoush's refusal to answer questions and escalated his techniques from simple interviews to beatings, to simulated drownings, and finally, to death. Defense attorney Spinner admitted that Welshofer sat on Mahoush while the general's face was covered by the sleeping bag, but he said Welshofer did nothing illegal, and claimed Army headquarters had told interrogators it was, quote, time to take the gloves off, end quote, during questioning. An Army general. An illegal combatant? No, an Army general. An illegal combatant, according to the Bush bastards, is somebody who fights out of uniform, with no command and control, no visible army or state sponsorship. This was an Iraqi general that this rat bastard interrogator sat on his face, stuffed him into a sleeping bag, sat on his face, beat him, and then murdered him. Nothing. Little fine. Confinement to barracks. Not guilty. The war protester in Bingham, New York, 6 months in prison for protesting a war that eventually led to this general's murder. The circularity of the irony there is just head-exploding stuff, isn't it?
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remember them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Did you know that there are over 350 different tax credits and deductions available? Tax time is coming up, and this year, make sure you get all the tax breaks you're entitled to. Deductions can include business expenses, personal expenses, or investment expenses. The TurboTax Deduction Finder helps you search for overlooked deductions. For more information on the TurboTax Deduction Finder and for other tax tips and topics, visit TurboTax.com. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right.
It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We have some audio for you tonight from today's Senate Judiciary Committee vote on Sammy DeGuisa Alito. No comedy from the laughing senators today, plus just a couple of quacking sound bites from this half-witted, useless bastard Scott McClellan at the White House press briefing today. The juxtaposition of those two stories, right? Somebody protests a war and gets 6 months in prison. Somebody murders an Iraqi general. Murders an Iraqi general. Now, I think somewhere in the Geneva... Oh, that's right. Never mind. Never mind. We don't play by those rules anymore. Not we. The Bush crime family and all of its tentacles play by their own rules. They have destroyed whatever honor the United States military still retained when we went to war with Iraq. The Bush crime family has destroyed whatever honor the United States military still retained when we invaded Iraq. And now this, murder of a general. And the killer gets nothing, a fine, a reprimand, confined to barracks for 60 days. A war protester goes to prison, not jail, prison, for 6 months. Like the protesters of the School of the Americas down in Columbus, Georgia. The old women, Catholic nuns. The oldest, I believe, was in her 80s when she was sentenced to 6 months in prison. Remember that, Kathy? Jesus. Well, you right-wingers love it. You little Nazi bastards, you love it. I know you love it. You want to see more of it, and you will. You will. You are getting your wish. You absolutely are. You neo-Nazis, you American Nazis, you celebrate the fact that the country has been so dumbed down that thugs like you are in the ascendancy. Okay, what can I say? It's your world. I'm just passing through it, dude. From Brad at bradblog.com. He writes, Saddam Hussein is a tyrant and a threat to democracy and deserves removal from the presidency for his litany of unjust and barbaric crimes. Saddam Hussein's intolerable use of weapons of mass destruction against enemies, unprecedented aggression against and occupation of a country which posed no threat to his own, routine kidnapping, torture, murder, and secret prison system, wholesale slaughter of citizens from other countries, imprisonment of political rivals held for years without charges, secret spying on his very own countrymen without court order or legislative approval, demonstrates beyond a reasonable doubt that this so-called president was a dangerous rogue, a tyrant, and a grave threat to worldwide peace, stability, and democracy. His immediate removal from unelected power was and is a completely justified imperative. Saddam Hussein's There's something vaguely, faintly, deja vu-y familiar about... Nah. Couldn't be. This is from a listener. If Butch gets his hands on the Google files... Now, you know the story. We haven't talked about the story since it broke the other day, but Google says, no, hell no, you cannot see where our subscribers or where our users web searched. Yahoo and AOL and the rest of MSN have said, yes, here it is. Here it is. Yes, sir. And when we get finished doing this, is anything else we can do for you, sir? We'd like to come and sit on the front porch tonight and sing these old spirituals. Because we know you white folk love to hear us Negroes sing. Google, on the other hand, said, piss off. So the Bush crime family has gone to court. They want to see what. Hey. Of course, it's a war on pornography, right? It's a war on pornography. Yeah. If Bush gets his hands on the Google files, according to my emailer, then the Justice Department will be able to see who among us are buying our drugs from Canada or other countries, you know, prescription drugs, and then they can be locked up for violating the federal law. Yep. My emailer writes, there's more to demanding that Google release their data streams than meets the eye. These folks who keep saying, if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't care if Bush gets your records, probably don't know if they have anything to hide or not.
I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in three sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. An hour from now, this time in our second hour, we're going to, I think we can finish up chapter one of our reading in 1984. We may have time to finish up that first chapter, so stick around for that. You know, my thoughts on the nomination and confirmation of Sammy the Goose Alito, it is the same as your feeling about it. If you are a normal American, I'm not talking about your right-wing cowards, but if you're a normal American, that is in the vast majority now who don't support anything that Bush stands for or does, then you and I share an opinion of Alito, his nomination, his confirmation, and what is in store in this country for probably, you know, unless he dies in office or gets impeached. If he lives a actuarially normal life, you know, this guy's going to be making judgments for the next 30 years. And he is, by definition, an American fascist. The vote was taken today, and of course it was 10-8, right down party lines. Now it goes to the full Senate, and already we have Democrats who are on the record of saying they're going to vote for this Nazi. So he will be confirmed, and the main reason he'll be confirmed is because the Democrats will refuse, utterly and absolutely, to stop it. And this is why, even though I'm a Democrat, we'll be a Democrat till I suck in my last breath. I hate the Democratic Party in its cowardice. I hate the Democratic Party for its cowardice. The people, not the Democratic Party for its I love the party for its ideals, its hopes, what it's done in the past. But today it's in the clutches of people who are cowards, who are gutless bastard cowards who would sell this country right into the toilet because they think it will get them reelected. There's not a Democrat in the United States Senate who believes that Alito is good for this country. If he or she does feel that way, then he or she should get the hell out of the Democratic Party and go become an American Nazi. Join the people on the other side of the aisle, the American Nazi Party. Having said all that, Senator Leahy, ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, he did a fine job today explaining why, with Bush's power-mad dictator desires, it is madness to confirm Alito.
This nomination, I fear, threatens the fundamental rights and liberties of all Americans now and in generations to come. The president is in the midst of a radical realignment of the powers of the government and its intrusiveness into the private lives of Americans. And I believe this nomination is part of that plan. I'm concerned that if we confirm this nominee, we'll further erode the checks and balances that have protected our constitutional rights for more than 200 years. It's a critical nomination. It can one that can tip the balance in the Supreme Court radically away from the constitutional checks and balances and the protection of Americans' fundamental rights.
You know, I wonder, when I listen to this today, I wonder how do right-wingers hear this, if they're listening at all, which I doubt. But how does a so-called conservative or a so-called Bush supporter or a so-called right-winger, when they hear Patrick Leahy, who is not spouting opinion, he's spouting fact based on the record of Sam Alito. How do right wingers feel? And to you lurkers, you conservatives, you right wingers who listen to this program, sitting in front of your computers or on your radios with your flies unzipped, you know what you do. I know what you do too. But are you not aware that the Republican power structure doesn't give a damn whether you live or die? They are going to smash your civil liberties just as quickly and as easily as they will smash the civil liberties of normal people. You don't seem to get that, do you? Nah. Leahy on how Alito would rubber stamp Bush's abuses of power, since Alito is a Scalia clone. He is of the Federalist Society. He's a mouth-breathing advocate of executive unitary whatever you want to call it, he discusses Bush's bogus claims that the use of force resolution to capture bin Laden somehow granted him unlimited powers to spy on any American he wanted. Here's Leahy.
This past week, I introduced a resolution to clarify what we all know. What we all know. The congressional authorization for the use of military force against Osama bin Laden did not authorize warrantless spying on Americans, as the Bush administration is now claiming. As Justice O'Connor underscored recently, even war, quote, is not a blank check for the president when it comes to the rights of the nation's citizens, close quote. Who could disagree with that?
Republicans.
But now that the illegal spying of Americans has become public, and the president has acknowledged the four-year-old program, the Bush administration's lawyers are now contending that Congress authorized it. The September 2001 authorization to use military force did no such thing. Democratic and Republican senators know it. A few Republicans have said so publicly. We all know it. The liberties and rights that define us as Americans and the system of checks and balances that serve to preserve them should not be sacrificed to threats of terrorism or the expanding power of the government.
Okay, well then, Senator Leahy, let me ask you something. Why don't you call a meeting of the Democratic Senatorial Caucus this evening? Round them all up, Senator Leahy. Come on, come on. You're making some good points, Senator Leahy. Round them all up. Nelson, especially Senator Nelson, who has already stuck his foot deeply down his own throat saying he's going to support this miserable son of a bitch who would destroy the Constitution of the United States. Why don't you get them all together, Pat? Rent a hall someplace. Go see John Conyers. He can tell you where there's a room in the basement. And get every Democratic senator to agree to a filibuster. That's the only way you're going to stop it, Pat. Yeah. Last one from Leahy on his vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee and his fears for the nation should Alito be confirmed by the full Senate.
I would say that no president should be allowed to pack the courts, and especially the Supreme Court. When nominees are selected to enshrine presidential claims of government powers. Our system was designed to ensure balance and to protect against overreaching by any branch. The Senate should not be a rubber stamp to this president's effort to move the law dramatically to the right and to give him unfettered leeway. So I will not lend my support to an effort by this president to move the Supreme Court and the law radically to the right and to remove the final check within our democracy. This is a bridge too far. I cannot vote for this nomination. At a time when the president is seizing unprecedented power, the Supreme Court needs to act as a check and to provide balance. Based on the hearing and his record, I have no confidence Judge Alito would provide that check and balance.
But you see, Pat, to the Republicans out there who are listening to you, they don't care about balance of power. That doesn't mean anything to them. The average American Republican who is not in office, and most of those who are in office, have not a clue as to what the phrase balance of power means and why the framers of the Constitution, all liberals, were so insistent that it be the absolute foundation of the Republic. Republicans don't know anything about that sort of stuff. And the average mouth-breathing bastard out here in radio land or newspaper land or television land, hey, what? Balance of power. Go Bush! Go Bush! Man, I love you! Golly, I love Bush! Go Bush! Beat the Democrats! Beat the Democrats! Go Bush! Go Bush! Yeah, yeah, yeah! All right, go! Yeah! I'm a player! I'm a player! I'm included in that! No, you're not, sucker. You're nothing. Republican Party leadership looks at you like the fool you are. They'll take your money. They'll tell you they'll never let the queers get married. They'll tell you they're going to work on stopping abortion. Yeah, but in the meantime, you Republicans, your children are going to be breathing the same filthy air and eating the same contaminated food and drinking the same poisonous water as normal people. And you and your wife are going to suffer the same kind of nonsense, the same kind of criminal activity as normal people. So you think, and I address this to the males out there, the male Republicans. You guys think you're going to escape? Do you think the Republican Party, you think Bush gives a damn about you? Fool. Lindsey Graham, Republican. Forget the fact that this little weasel doesn't even know the correct name of the organization, People for the American Way. Forget about it. Forget about that. This is the most out there challenge I've heard a neocon make since Chucklenuts told the enemy, bring him on. Inviting whoever to attack and kill Americans.
Senate Democratic leaders urged their members Tuesday to vote against him in an effort to lay the groundwork for making a campaign issue of the decisions on the court. I'll just tell you right now, we welcome that debate on our side. We'll clean your clock. I mean, Judge Alito is closer to the mainstream of America than Citizens for American Way.
Oh, my God. You rat little bastard. We'll clean your clock.
That just cracks me up, seeing little Lindsey Graham sitting there saying, look, clean your glass. I'm going to get a Q-tip.
Judge Alito is closer to the mainstream of America than Citizens for American Way? Judge Alito is closer, perhaps, Lindsey, to your concept of mainstream America, but he's a Nazi little rat bastard, apparently just like you are, or maybe you're just a Nazi sympathizer. Lindsey, a little tricked out freak. Aren't you one of those who insisted on the rule of law when y'all were going after Clinton because he had a girlfriend and got a little in the Oval Office and you didn't? Oh, my God. All right, quick break. When we come back, two from simple Scotty McClelland that you may or may not like. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
Hey, listen here.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Ooh. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now in three sizes at CVS and other stores.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
We'll be right back.
capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. And I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
It's about 8 before the hour. All right, simple Scotty McClellan from today. Tiny bit of quacking beginning with this exchange between McClellan and Helen Thomas on Bush's illegal wiretapping. As usual, McClellan loves to talk over his betters, especially if his better is sitting 10 feet below him and is an old lady with a barely discernible voice. Scott loves that. So try to listen to this. Helen keeps asking why Bush wouldn't simply get a warrant if everything he's doing is legal and legitimate. Starts out with Helen Thomas saying, is the president going to seek any legal permission from Congress to spy on Americans without a warrant? And amazingly, McClellan starts talking about long-distance call billing.
I reject your characterization to suggest it's domestic spying. That's like saying someone making a phone call from inside the United States to another country is a domestic call. It is billed the international rate, and it is labeled.
He has to seek.
And it is labeled an international. It is labeled an international call.
Why doesn't he seek a warrant? What's
the big problem? Well, actually, we've walked through this repeatedly over the last few days. It's important for the American people to understand what the facts are. There is a lot of misinformation about this program. And we do use the FISA tool as well. That's an important tool as well. But we have briefed members of Congress more than a dozen times on this. We continue to brief members of Congress in an appropriate manner. This is a highly classified program, and it is a vital program to our nation's security. The 9/11 Commission criticized us for not connecting the dots. This is helping us to connect the dots.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, I swear when the lights go out, I get him. Oh. Now, Simple Snotty became a little flustered over questions about why Bush claimed nobody knew the levees in New Orleans were going to break. When Bush was warned, of course, that exactly that. I guess you've heard about that, right? The Bush crime family had advance warning that the danger and the potential damage from Hurricane Katrina before the storm hit. This is according to newly released documents that have been brought to light because of these hearings in Washington. Yeah, they knew all about it. These sons of bitches knew all about it. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew levees would not be able to withstand the surge in Lake. They knew it all. Every single bit of it. There's just no end to the number of memos that Bush will ignore, whether it's about an attack by Al-Qaeda or weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or bin Laden's intentions to attack America or impending natural disasters or mining safety issues. Explain to me once again how America is safer with Raisin Brain in the Oval Office. The reporter says, Scott, back on September 1st, the president said to Diane Sawyer, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. They did not anticipate a serious storm. This is nonsense. You knew about it. So did the president misspeak, or did he just not get the word?
Of course, we knew what the potential was of a hurricane of that magnitude. We have done exercises in Louisiana and other exercises and looked at such a possibility previously. As the president said, what he was referring to was that there is a sense by many, once the hurricane hit and had passed, that the worst-case scenario did not happen. There were numerous media reports saying that New Orleans had dodged the bullet, and I can pull those up for you and show you those.
But, Scott, you quacking quackaroo, the president's sorry response is not the question. The question is why Chuckle Nuts ignored the warnings that the levees were going to break and told a reporter no one knew. Diane Sawyer, no one knew this could happen. And every one of you bastards knew. You ran Operation Hurricane Pam. A tabletop exercise of what would happen when a storm like this hit. You all knew. So once again, repeated incompetence, repeated lying. Once again, the failure of these rat bastards to do anything to protect American lives, whether those are civilian lives, whether those are military lives, whether those are lives of a people in a nation that we are bombing back to the Stone Age. Oh, but he will make sure that rich white Americans get their permanent tax cut, won't he? This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At GEICO.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Pentagon says the U.S. force in Iraq has now dipped to its lowest number since last summer. A military spokesman says there are now about 136,000 Americans serving there, down from about 160,000 last fall. The war in Iraq is placing severe strain on the U.S. military, and now to try to reduce that strain on the soldiers, the Army is planning a restructuring. They say it will increase the number of combat brigades. The plan would first have the number of active duty combat brigades grow over the next few years from 33 to 42. Secondly, it would add more troops to the active duty ranks. Third, it would implement what they call rebalancing, or the conversion of units like artillery and air defense in less demand today to things like Green Berets and military police, which are more needed. And fourth, the most immediate form of relief, a substantial troop reduction in Iraq, perhaps below 100,000. Former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark says Saddam Hussein's trial is dysfunctional and isn't going to get any better. He has been advising the former Iraqi leader's defense team. Clark told the BBC, if you really want to have fair trials, you're going to have to do something else. Saddam's on-again, off-again trial delayed again today. The court canceled resumption of proceedings, set the new start for Sunday. Two judges say members of the panel hearing the case are split over the appointment yesterday of a new chief judge. The nomination of Judge Samuel Alito to the U.S. Supreme Court is going to the full Senate now that the Senate Judiciary Committee has approved his selection with 10 Republican votes. All 8 of the Democrats voted no. Republicans say he's a great choice. Democrats say he'll swing the court to the right. New York's Chuck Schumer says during the hearings, Alito would not speak openly because he knows his opinion that the Constitution does not protect abortion rights is unpopular. The top Democrats on the panel, Patrick Leahy, says Alito's nomination, quote, threatens the fundamental rights and liberties of all Americans. IBM sued in federal court today for allegedly not paying overtime to tens of thousands of rank-and-file employees. The suit filed in U.S. District Court on behalf of 3 current and former workers seeking class action status to represent computer installers and maintenance workers for IBM throughout the U.S. Lawyers say they're asking millions of dollars in back pay for employees of the world's biggest technology services company. An IBM spokesman says the company does not comment on pending litigation. This is Air America Radio.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee is the one investigating how the Bush crime family so severely screwed up once again where it concerned the aftermath of Katrina and the preparations necessary to have handled what anybody who had any kind of an understanding of what New Orleans was in for would have been able to figure out. The Associated Press, well, The Guardian Unlimited in the UK had the article from the Associated Press and it talks about how the Bush crime family now had to produce documents that are the latest indication, according to The Guardian, that the federal government knew beforehand of the catastrophic damage that a storm of Katrina's magnitude could cause. The Bush administration has been lambasted for its lackluster response to Katrina and its aftermath, including criticism that the government should have known a hurricane of that strength posed a danger to the area's levees and was unprepared to cope with it. Homeland Security spokesman Russ Knox said he was not familiar with the documents, but that the levee situation was one likely reason the government urged an evacuation of New Orleans before the storm hit. Now, also, according to the Associated Press, the Bush White House, this is what it says, the White House is crippling a Senate inquiry into the government's sluggish response to Hurricane Katrina by barring administration officials from answering questions and failing to hand over documents, senators leading the investigation said today. Now, that's a Democrat and a Republican. In some cases, staff at the White House and other federal agencies have refused to be interviewed by congressional investigators, said the top Republican and Democrat on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. In addition, agency officials won't answer seemingly innocuous questions about times and dates of meetings and telephone calls with the White House. White House spokesman Trent Duffy said the administration's Deputy Homeland Security Advisor Ken Rapuano has briefed White House and Senate lawmakers on the federal response and a lessons learned report from Homeland Security Advisor Francis Townsend is expected in the coming weeks, Duffy said. But he defended the administration's decision to prohibit White House staffers or other presidential advisors from testifying before Congress. Duffy said, quote, there is a deliberative process, and the White House has always said it wants to cooperate with the committee, but preserves any president's ability to get advice from advisors. You filthy pigs. It just never stops with these people, does it? It just never, ever, ever stops with these people. No matter what the event is, war, natural disaster, energy policy, it makes no difference. We're not going to answer. This is what it is like in a totalitarian form of government, or a dictatorship, or fascism, or Nazism. This is it. Do you understand? Not only does the Bush crime family utterly and absolutely refuse to respond to its co-equal partner in government, the Congress, it tells the American public to go screw itself. No, we're not going to tell you anything. Now, wartime president. This is your first war of the 21st century. I'm a wartime. I'm like Winston Churchill. All right, let's do some phone calls, okay? Let's do some phone calls before I go out of my crawl space here. Let's do some phone calls. Brett is calling from Kansas. Oh my God, from the recently defiled state of Kansas, where Bush was the other day. Don't tell me you were there.
I was there, Mike. Unfortunately.
Yeah, how did you get in?
Well, I just went, stood in line for 2.5 hours and got my ticket.
They didn't ask to see your voting record for the past 20 years?
No, well, I'm only 22 years old, so I've only been voting for a few years.
Oh, okay. So what happened?
Well, you know, there, I've read news reports about how Bush has had people screened out of the audience in town hall meetings in the past. I didn't see any of that going on. I've talked to the people protesting, the liberals protesting against Bush. There are about 100 of them, maybe a little bit more. And there are a few conservatives out there protesting against Bush's usurpation of the Constitution, especially the Fourth Amendment. And none of them said that they were, you know, screened out of the speech or anything. A lot of them protested, then went in. So none of that happened. One weird thing that did happen to me was an Associated Press reporter tried to interview me when I went into the Coliseum. I was just in the walkway outside of where the seats are. And a university official ran up and said, "You can't interview here. You can't interview here." And he asked why, and she just said, "Well, you know, you have to interview outside. We're not allowing interviews in here." And I said, "You know, we've got a First Amendment. He can interview me if he wants to." And she said, "Well, then go outside." And that was really the only violation of my rights that happened. But inside the speech, there was Secret Service all around. And, you know, Mike, this is a scary part of the country. And I don't consider myself a liberal or a conservative. I'm more of a libertarian. I've got views on both sides, more of a social liberal, more of an economic conservative myself. But this is a scary part of the country to live in. It's over, you know, 70% just Bush-worshipping neocons. And, frankly, our country's going to be in bad shape if people don't wake up and find out the truth about events like September 11th and who really stands to gain from that. Find out the truth about the Iraq War and the Project for the New American Century documents that led up to that. And people need to find out the truth and really put politics aside, put their personal ideologies aside, see where this country really stands. And I don't see that going on right now.
Well, when you say put personal ideologies aside, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, you still have your views, but you need to find the truth out about a lot of different events.
But if my search for the truth dovetails perfectly with my liberal democratic ideology, what would you have me do?
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine. But at the same time, our country's in bad shape. And
But it's in bad shape because of Republicans, not because of Democrats.
I disagree with you, although in the past 6 years I do believe that it's more Republicans because they're...
All right, well, let's explore this for a second. You say you disagree with me. Tell me on what basis you disagree when I make the statement the country is in bad shape because of Republicans, not Democrats.
Well, the Democrats voted for the war as well.
Wait a second. The Democrats voted for the war based on false information, based on lies that were fed to them by the Bush crime family. If I tell you your house is on fire, if I track you down at your place of work or your classroom and tell you your house is on fire, okay, and you rush home, Brett, and on your way home you get in a car wreck, and it doesn't kill you, but it leaves you paralyzed for the rest of your life, am I responsible for your being paralyzed?
No, that's a pretty good analogy, too. And
am I responsible for your being paralyzed?
No.
Who is?
The person...
Had I not told you and lied to you, I'm lying. Your house is not on fire.
Right.
You don't mean that. If I lie to you and say your house is on fire and your parents are burning up and you rush home to save their lives and you're in a car wreck because of my lie, you don't think that's my fault?
I just didn't understand your analogy.
Okay. It is my fault, isn't it?
Right, yeah. No,
okay.
I understand.
If I'm a member of Congress, a Democratic member of Congress, and the Bush crime family tells me, and the horrors in American media tell me, and everywhere I turn around, I'm getting briefings from the CIA and briefings from the DEA, or not the DIA, and I'm getting briefings from the White House, and they all say the same thing, and the State Department and the Defense Department, and they're telling me that Saddam Hussein is about to attack America, and I vote in favor of war. Who is responsible? Me or the liars? Who put you in a coma? You understand where I'm coming from, Brett? Think about it. Thanks for checking in.
Let's go.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Please apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Dear Gold Bond, my husband's a carpenter.
And my hands were rough as sandpaper.
Here's a real letter from Gene and Tom of New Jersey about our Ultimate Healing Lotion.
Then she got me Gold Bond Ultimate.
It works better than any lotion we've ever used.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now his hands are almost smoother than mine.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
It really does.
End your day streaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. Brett, if you're still listening, I'm sorry to have ended the call so abruptly, but we had to go to a break, and I didn't want to hold you over. I don't know what to tell you. You're very young, and I appreciate your youth. I really do. I could pull an age trick on you and say, God, you got a lot to learn. I won't do that. No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to do it backhandedly. I won't do that. But when you declare yourself a, when you declare yourself a libertarian, I'm not sure if you mean a left libertarian or a right libertarian. There is a difference. If you are an Ayn Rand libertarian, an Atlas Shrugged libertarian, a Fountainhead libertarian, then you're a phony. Because if that is what you are, then you are willing to eat poison food, you are willing to take medication that has not been approved by the FDA, and even when it's approved by the FDA, you sometimes risk your life. You are willing to drink water that's full of arsenic and lead, and you know, so let's be cool with this libertarian thing. I think libertarianism at one point in the history of the human race might have been a fairly good idea, but it no longer applies. If you're a libertarian, then you certainly don't use mass transit because it's federally subsidized, and you certainly don't drive on interstates because it's federally subsidized. And in fact, in most instances, you don't even get out on the streets in whatever town you live in Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, and drive up and down those streets because some of the repair possibly comes from federal funds. And, you know, libertarians don't believe in any of that. And if any member of your family is a farmer, well, that's, you know, I mean, come on, federal government subsidizes and destroys the international markets in the course of doing this for American farmers because they're not interested in American farmers. They're interested in factory farms. So on and on and on and on. All I'm suggesting, Brett, is this. Please, as you explore libertarianism, understand that, or as you explore what the Bush crime family is doing to this country, please understand that the Democrats are not as responsible in the war resolution as you may think. In fact, I'll go so far to say as even most Republicans who voted for the war resolution were as in the dark as Democrats. That may be a stretch, but I'll try it. The administration of George W. Bush, Brett, is neo-Nazi. Check it out. Look it up. It is fascist by definition. Check it out. Look it up. And it does nothing but abrogate power unto itself, like a vampire sucking from the other two branches of government. Coming back after the next break, we're going to go right into a reading tonight. Ron is calling from Pennsylvania. Ron, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience here.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I just have like a real simple comment, and the thing you started out with tonight, you know, the Lewis Welshover verdict, and
right.
I was listening to Sam Cedar earlier, and I think he mentioned that, or what was it? Well, some podcast I was listening to, and they had the stories right back to back of the right. activist, and the contradiction was just like, they gave this guy 6 months. Come on, please. But the reason why I'm calling is, you know, I really have a hard time trying to grasp how whatever reasons, honor, following orders or whatever, how another human being could do that to another human being.
I hear you.
I just don't get it. I mean, is there like a mass psychosis going on here in the United States?
Well,
are we so honor bound, so duty bound that we can just like, I don't know, mutilate people? And there's got to be some sort of like sadomasochistic pleasure in it. And you know, maybe all these guys are like, you know, like so like, I don't know, so insecure that you know that they have to have demonized people to sort of beat on to keep their masculinity.
Well,
or whatever. I don't know.
If this guy who was convicted, quote unquote, in the military, if he were 19, I could say or 20, I could say it's very easy.
He's 45.
I understand. But
right.
if he were young, I could say it's very easy because they strip out of you any sense of humanity and compassion. That's what basic training is about, and that's what your advanced training is about.
Oh, right. As you point out,
this guy was 43 years old.
Right.
The only thing I can come up with, there are a lot of people in the military whose function, don't forget this guy's a reservist, I think. He's not regular Army. Who go into the military, they come from occupations that traditionally are brutal. And I have a feeling that once they are given carte blanche, as these people were in Iraq, to use whatever tactics they wanted, just a naturally occurring, in some people, sadism comes out, and they give it full throttle. They don't get, there's nothing to hold them back. That's the only excuse I can come up with, the only reason, not excuse I can come up with. These are sadistic sons of bitches who defile the uniform of the United States military as soon as they put it on. Because they know damn good and well what they're going to do, given a chance. And this guy absolutely did it. Ron, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Over and over again, my friend. You don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
ship seem orderly? When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise. Hello?
26 before the hour, when we ended last night, Winston was at the two-minute hate, and the crowd had been worked into an absolute fever. And after the face of Goldstein faded, the face of Big Brother appeared and again moved the crowd into a frenzy, and then that face faded away. And the three slogans of the party stood out in bold capitals. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. But the face of Big Brother seemed to persist for several seconds on the screen, as though the impact that it had made on everyone's eyeballs was too vivid to wear off immediately. The little sandy-haired woman had flung herself forward over the deck, over the back of the chair in front of her. With a tremulous murmur that sounded like, "My Savior," she extended her arms toward the screen. Then she buried her face in her hands. It was apparent that she was uttering a prayer. At this moment, the entire group of people broke into a deep, slow, rhythmical chant of, "Be, be, be, be," over and over again, very slowly, with a long pause between the first B and the second, a heavy, murmurous sound, somehow curiously savage, in the background of which one seemed to hear the stamp of naked feet and the throbbing of tom-toms. For perhaps as much as 30 seconds they kept it up. It was a refrain that was often heard in moments of overwhelming emotion. Partly, it was a sort of hymn to the wisdom and majesty of Big Brother. But still more, it was an act of self-hypnosis, a deliberate drowning of consciousness by means of rhythmic noise. Winston's entrails seemed to grow cold, and the two-minute hate, he could not help sharing in the general delirium, but this subhuman chanting of "be, be, be, be" always filled him with horror. Of course, he chanted with the rest. It was impossible to do otherwise. To dissemble your feelings, to control your face, to do what everyone else was doing was an instinctive reaction. But there was a space of a couple of seconds during which the expression of his eyes might conceivably have betrayed him. And it was exactly at this moment that the significant thing happened, if indeed it did happen. Momentarily, he caught O'Brien's eye. O'Brien had stood up. He had taken off his spectacles and was in the act of resettling them on his nose with his characteristic gesture. But there was a fraction of a second when their eyes met, and for as long as it took to happen, Winston knew, yes, he knew, that O'Brien was thinking the same thing as himself. An unmistakable message had passed. It was as though their two minds had opened and the thoughts were flowing from one into the other through their eyes. "I am with you," O'Brien seemed to be saying to him. "I know precisely what you are feeling. I know all about your contempt, your hatred, your disgust. But don't worry, I'm on your side." And then the flash of intelligence was gone, and O'Brien's face was as inscrutable as everyone else's. That was all. And he was already uncertain whether it had happened. Such incidents never had any sequel. All that they did was to keep alive in him the belief or hope that others besides himself were the enemies of the party. Perhaps the rumors of vast underground conspiracies were true after all. Perhaps the Brotherhood really existed. It was impossible, in spite of the endless arrests and confessions and executions, to be sure that the Brotherhood was not simply a myth. Some days he believed it, some days not. There was no evidence, only fleeting glimpses that might mean anything or nothing. Snatches of overheard conversation, faint scribbles on lavatory walls. Once, even, when two strangers met, a small movement of the hand, which had looked as though it might be a signal of recognition. It was all guesswork. Very likely he had imagined everything. He had gone back to his cubicle without looking at O'Brien again. The idea of following up their momentary contact hardly crossed his mind. It would have been inconceivably dangerous, even if he had known how to set about doing it. For a second, 2 seconds, they had exchanged an equivocal glance, and that was the end of the story. But even that was a memorable event. in the locked loneliness in which one had to live. Winston roused himself and sat up straighter. He let out a belch. The gin was rising from his stomach. His eyes refocused on the page, he discovered that while he sat helplessly musing, he had also been writing as though by automatic action. And it was no longer the same cramped, awkward handwriting as before. His pen had slid voluptuously over the smooth paper, printing in neat, large capitals, "Down with Big Brother! Down with Big Brother! Down with Big Brother! Down with Big Brother! Down with Big Brother!" over and over again, filling half a page. He could not help feeling a twinge of panic. It was absurd, since the writing of those particular words were not more dangerous than the initial act of opening the diary, but for a moment he was tempted to tear out the spoiled pages and abandon the enterprise altogether. He did not do so, however, because he knew that it was useless. Whether he wrote "Down with Big Brother," or whether he refrained from writing it, made no difference. Whether he went on with the diary or just he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same. He had committed, would still have committed, even if he had never set pen to paper, the essential crime that contained all others in itself. Thought crime, they called it. Thought crime was not a thing that could be concealed forever. You might dodge successfully for a while, even for years, but sooner or later they were bound to get you. It was always at night. The arrests invariably happened at night. The sudden jerk out of sleep, the rough hand shaking your shoulder, the lights glaring in your eyes, the ring of hard faces round the bed. In the vast majority of cases, there was no trial, no report of the arrest. People simply disappeared, always during the night. Your name was removed from the registers. Every record of everything you had ever done was wiped out. Your one-time existence was denied and then forgotten. You were abolished, annihilated. Vaporized was the usual word. For a moment he was seized by a kind of hysteria. He began writing in a hurried, untidied scrawl. "They'll shoot me. I don't care. They'll shoot me in the back of the neck. I don't care. Down with Big Brother. They always shoot you in the back of the neck. I don't care. Down with Big Brother." He sat back in his chair, slightly ashamed of himself, and laid down the pen. The next moment, he started violently. There was a knocking at the door. "Already?" He sat still as a mouse, in the futile hope that whoever it was might go away after a single attempt. But no, the knocking was repeated. The worst thing of all would be to delay. His heart was thumping like a drum, but his face, from long habit, was probably expressionless. He got up and moved heavily toward the door. And if you're following along, that ends chapter one. And as you know, the book is divided, if I remember right, the books are divided into three or four sections. And that was the end of chapter one in the first section. And tomorrow night, we begin with chapter two. And again, the idea here is I'm going to continue to read a section or a segment of this every night on this program until one of three things happens. We complete the novel in its entirety. Bush is driven from office. or I'm no longer with Air America. Now, of course, when we take time off, which we surely will, whoever substitutes for me, and it'll probably be Peter Werby, I would imagine, or whoever. The readings, of course, will not continue during that brief hiatus, but that's the plan. If you read 1984 in high school or in university, then this is a good time to get reacquainted with the novel. If you have never read it, there are free versions online, or if you like the feel of a book in your hands, like I do, you can go to your nearest used bookstore and buy a copy. We'll be back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy.
That's how it goes. Never
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
All right, let's do some phone calls again, please. Let's start with Rocco, who is calling in from Rosendale, New York. Rocco, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great.
That's a great story, 1984.
It is, indeed.
Yeah, I haven't read it in a while myself. I should go over and read it. I just want to make a point here about this Google search thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They say that they're searching for people looking for porn. Let's say they do, 100 million searches a day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, they're saying about, let's say 1% of those is for porn.
Right.
That's, a million searches? They want a whole month of that? That's 30 million searches. Okay? Just think about what that would do to the prison system.
It's not, I don't think it's about pornography.
There's not enough prisons on the planet. I don't think it's about pornography either.
Right. That's the cover story.
Right. There's not enough prisons on the planet to prosecute that many people. I think it's because people are using Google and Google News to find alternative sources for news so that they can, wheedle through the pabulum that's being dealt to us by the they call it liberal media.
Don't you think also, though, Rocco, that the reason they want information from these search engines is simply because they feel they have a right to have it. It has nothing to do with porn. It has nothing to do with what websites people are going to. It has to do with the whole mindset behind fascism. Let me finish. And that mindset behind fascism is you do nothing without both my permission and my knowledge. That's what this is about. It has nothing whatsoever to do with wanting to know where someone searched on the internet. It has to do with wanting to know just simply that someone searched. That's all. That's what fascism is. It's control.
I'll buy that.
I think that's all it is. Rocco, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. Oh, my goodness. I see. Slingblade, Carl Childers is calling from Columbus, Ohio. If you saw the movie, you know who Carl Childers is. Carl, I haven't heard from you for a while. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, that's because I've been out at the war. I got to get back from the war on Christmas.
You were at the war?
Yeah, I was with the war on Christmas.
The war on Christmas.
Ready to be deployed there for the war on Valentine's Day.
That's coming up next. How did the war on Christmas go?
Well, I think we're going to have to go back for another deployment next year. Next November.
You think?
Not over.
Yeah, I hear that. What do you got planned for the war on Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm going to have to keep shooting the arrows through the heart, so I really think he's trying to attack Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you maybe. Well, you would know about going for the heart, wouldn't you?
Oh, but I got good news.
Yeah, what's
your show?
Yeah, what's the good news, Carl?
Well, that Ricola Mystery Coffer Contest, I won it. $1 million.
Yeah.
They said it could be a man or a woman, so I called up and told them it was Ann Coulter. I'm pretty sure I won.
And what did they say?
I think they're going to send me the money soon.
They're going to send you the money?
Yep, so I started my own talent business. You got that music now that you play between the commercials?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm sorry. I don't like it either, Carl.
That's good. It's an opportunity. All right? You hold on a minute, okay?
Hold on.
Sing, Scarecrow.
Oh, I could win my own election without supreme selection. Then no one could have complained. catapult and propaganda. I could push through my agenda if I only had a brain. Oh, I'd shock 'em and I'd arm with my own Vietnam in Iraq or in Iran.
When Nash is wired, happen, the impeachment might not happen if you only got a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the oceans don't protect us anymore from evildoers coming to our shore. Come to think, they didn't before. So even if you're worried, beast the queer still can't get married from Washington to Maine. Oh, I could plot a strategy. Life would be a dingo-dairy if I only had a brain.
Oh, God.
That's good, Scarecrow.
That's a great song, Carl. What, did he write that?
Yeah, but I can't talk too much of comment on it because it's an ongoing audition. Comment on it.
That's a great song. If it ever gets...
Hey, don't Scarecrow, I'm going to get my ice pick now.
Yeah, okay. No ice pick tonight. That was great. If you ever do record that on CD, please send it to us here at the Malloy Program.
And
we'd love to play it, Carl.
Is Rita there tonight?
Rita, yes, she is. She's sitting out here eating a box of donuts. Let me see if I can get Rita. One of your fans?
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit afraid of him.
You're afraid of him? You're afraid of him?
I like the way you talk, Rita.
I thought I was the Recall the Mystery Coffer.
You remind me of her. I like the way you talk. Maybe we can go out for some biscuits and gravy, huh?
I was hoping you might have something to say about your banana. Isn't that what you call your blade?
I call it a Kaiser blade. Some people call it a sling blade.
Yeah, you call it what?
I call it a Kaiser blade.
A Kaiser blade.
Yeah, we ought not talk about my banana, though.
I'm sorry.
Do you wrestle?
All right, Dan.
I love wrestling.
Yeah, Rita loves wrestling. Listen, Carl, good to hear from you. Tell the Scarecrow I'd love to have that record if he ever records it, okay?
I'll let him know. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks, Carl. Take it easy, please.
All right, Dan.
All right, take care.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
What's your idea of good news? How about being on a free cruise with your friends and family? Aleve, the pain reliever devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis, is offering you the chance to win a 7-night cruise for four on a luxury ship. Visit AleveGoodNews.com to enter. While you're there, read all the good news Aleve users shared with us, and maybe you can share some of yours, like winning a free cruise, for example. Visit AleveGoodNews.com.
No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry info, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 131-06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The Senate Judiciary Committee is recommending confirmation of federal judge Samuel Alito to the U.S. Supreme Court. The panel sent Alito's nomination to the full Senate on a party-line vote of 10 to 8. Correspondent Terry Moore has the latest.
Alito's confirmation in the full Senate is expected soon as prospects for a possible Democratic filibuster have dimmed. Arizona Republican John Kyle praised Alito.
Samuel Alito is one of the most qualified men or women ever to come before the Senate.
But New York Democrat Chuck Schumer accused Alito of being elusive.
On too many issues, we were treated to artful evasions and pleasant banalities.
President Bush has nominated the conservative Alito, a veteran federal appeals court judge, to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. I'm Terry Moore on Capitol Hill.
Democrats are sharpening their rhetorical knives as President Bush's State of the Union speech draws closer. In a Washington, D.C. speech, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid called on Bush to swagger less and display more honesty and humility. He said while Republicans run good campaigns, they have a record of incompetence when it comes to actually governing and protecting Americans. President Bush says he will visit India and Pakistan in March. He revealed his plans Tuesday while meeting with Pakistan's Prime Minister at the White House. The president said he talked about the war on terror, as well as the importance of trade, commerce, and investment with Prime Minister Aziz. Bush also said he was pleased by the U.S. relief efforts after the massive earthquake that struck Pakistan last year.
It's hard to imagine the devastation. The country lost 75,000 people, 4 million people were made homeless, and I was very pleased that the United States, our taxpayers, military, could contribute to helping the people of Pakistan recover. They are our friends.
Aziz added that Pakistan's relationship with the U.S. and the war on terror is very important. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says media reports on the Bush administration's domestic spying program are generally not correct. Speaking at Georgetown University's Law Center Tuesday, Gonzalez said news accounts of the program are, quote, in almost every case, in one way or another, misinformed, confused, or wrong.
These activities are lawful.
Gonzalez said the program remains an important tool in protecting America. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A federal judge in Manhattan has ordered the Pentagon to release the names and nationalities of hundreds of prisoners detained at Guantanamo. In so doing, the judge has rejected the Bush crime family's argument that it would be a violation of their privacy and expose them to retaliation by terrorist groups. These sons of bitches are just incredible, huh? If the Bush crime family releases the names and nationalities of hundreds of prisoners, it would violate their privacy. Jesus, God, these are sick people. The ruling came from Judge Jed Rakoff, Federal District Court in Manhattan. Came in a lawsuit brought by the Associated Press in April of last year under the Freedom of Information Act. The AP tried to force the Pentagon to release transcripts of military tribunal hearings held to determine whether the detainees at Guantanamo had been properly categorized as so-called enemy combatants. Now, Pentagon lawyers have asked the judge to reconsider the ruling, arguing that the prisoners' publishing the prisoners' names would violate the privacy of their families. He gave the Pentagon until tomorrow to file an appeal. Now, this will work its way to the Supreme Court, and guess who will be on the Supreme Court? Sammy the Fish Alito. Or, I'm sorry, Sammy the Goose. Alito will be there. How do you suppose he's going to rule? A couple of quick emails here that oddly are kind of, they're from different parts of the country, but here's the first one. This is from Randy in Grand Junction, Colorado. Randy writes, Mike, I consider myself to be a patriotic American, so the notion of American president working with a maniac who killed thousands of our citizens is almost impossible even to imagine, let alone to agree with. This is true even when the president is George Bush, whom I viscerally despise for what he has done to our country and to our planet. However, I assume you're familiar with the principle known as Occam's Razor, which holds that, quote, the simplest explanation that fits all of the available facts is the preferred one, end quote. Given that the Bush and Bin Laden families have worked together for years, that Bush had numerous warnings of the September 11 attacks and could easily have prevented them by, for example, directing all airlines to make sure that their cockpit doors were secured, that he could easily have caught Bin Laden but instead let him get away, that Bin Laden keeps popping up on cue with his boogie, boogie, boogie whenever things start to look rough for Bush, and so on, and so on. Are Bush and Bin Laden in league? I hate to believe it, but it not only is the simplest explanation that seems to fit all the facts, more and more, it looks like the only one. Now, that's from Randy in Colorado, and from Anita somewhere else. She writes, when will the Democrats figure this out? Bin Laden, a Saudi Arabian, and Saddam were avowed enemies for 20 years prior to 9/11. Bush ignored the pre-9/11 warnings, including the infamous August 6 memo, headlined, Bin Laden Determined to Strike U.S. Bush sat in a classroom for 7 minutes after the second plane had flown into the tower. All the Bin Ladens were allowed to leave the country before anyone could question them. Bush diverted all the special ops forces from Afghanistan to Iraq as they were on the verge of capturing Bin Laden in Tora Bora. Bush invaded Iraq and toppled Saddam, Bin Laden's enemy. All Iraqis want us to leave, yet several permanent military bases are being constructed to control Iraq's oil, which works for Saudi Arabia, Iraq's largest competitor. Continuing chaos and civil war, the real desired effects in Iraq, allow unfettered corporate stealing and control of oil at the expense of our young soldiers. The Saudis get richer, and Bush gets to use the threat of bin Laden to advance the neocon agenda of unilateral, one-party government control. Bush and bin Laden, allies, not enemies. Sure. Why not? One last thing. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist told Republican Party activists last Friday night that the U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito was the worst nightmare of Democrats. Now, remember, Alito is being sold as mainstream. What did little old Lindsey Graham say? That Sammy Alito is more mainstream than People for the American Way? It's more in a line with normal Americans and something like that. But Frist, the Tennessee Republican, made the remark to fellow Republicans during a private tour he gave them in the Senate chamber when the Senate was not in session. And Frist was not available for comment regarding these remarks. So this is, of course, hello, the worst nightmare of Democrats. Or did he say liberal Democrats? It doesn't matter. The worst nightmare. Think about it. Someone being nominated and who is going to be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice is identified by the Senate Majority Leader as the worst nightmare for Democrats. You rat bastard. Do you know how many Democrats there are in America? Oh, never mind. I will say this, though, just from my little two-cent point of view. If this man is not filibustered. Oh, and I understand that Senator Nelson of Florida has, according to RawStory.com, he has retracted his statement that he's going to vote for confirmation and now says he's going to vote against, which puts the idea of filibuster back into play. But this is it, folks. I mean, this is really, really it, isn't it? This is like two out, bases loaded, full count. Casey's at bat. Now, what's going to happen? Well, you know what happened in the poem. If the Democrats do not stop this Federalist American Nazi from assuming what the Project for New American Century people want, that is, his place on the Supreme Court, then the experiment in democracy, representative government in this country, is ended. That's all it really is. It won't manifest. That ending won't manifest itself a week after he is takes his seat. It won't even manifest maybe next year. Might be a year or two or three. But it will happen. This is a guy who truly believes this Sammy the Goose Alito and his weepy, whiny-ass wife. This is a guy who truly believes in the absolute power of the presidency. There's no co-equal branches of government. In fact, Alito has stated categorically that the legislative branch merely gets in the way of governance. Now, if that's the case, and if there is no need for a legislative branch, then of course there is no need for a judicial branch. Because the function of the judicial branch is to interpret the laws passed by the legislative branch or the orders issued by the executive branch. If the executive branch is above reproach, and if the legislative branch is superfluous, hello, goodbye to the judicial branch. Unless it remains simply as a rubber stamp. It is. It's two outs. Bases loaded. Full count. Guess who's at bat? And the only thing stopping Alito will be what the Attorney General of the United States has referred to as a quaint document, the U.S. Constitution. Or was that the Geneva Convention? Or was it both? Or does it even matter? Thank you.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.